Funding for The Front Row on Texas Tech Public Radio comes from the Helen Jones Foundation and from Citibank. Citibank's award-winning app delivers features that are redefining mobile banking, like the ability to turn your debit card off if it's ever lost or stolen, and the ability to raise ATM and spending limits. More information is at citibankonline.com. Citibank, member FDIC. Support also comes from Texas Tech's J.T. and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Art, music, theater, and dance. Dean Noel Zoller invites you to enjoy some of the 800 performances and exhibits produced each year by talented students, faculty, and visiting artists. See the stars of tomorrow on the stage today. Texas Tech's J.T. and Margaret Talkington College of Visual and Performing Arts. Explore, dream, discover. And from Lubbock's Cultural District. Always creative, never flat. More information is available at lubbockculturaldistrict.org. The Lubbock Symphony Orchestra is presenting a semi-staged version of Giacomo Puccini's opera La Bohème, the Lubbock Memorial Civic Center Theater. To learn more about this weekend's performances, I sat in on a rehearsal and visited with the LSO staff. We're visiting with Galen Wixon, who is the new president and CEO of the Lubbock Symphony Orchestra. Mr. Wixon, welcome to Lubbock and welcome to the Lubbock Symphony.
Thanks, Clint. It's great to be here.
So that people can get to know you a little better, tell us a little bit about your journey that has had you arrive now in Lubbock and at the Lubbock Symphony.
Mm-hmm. Well, I started life very young as a cellist, and I took a bachelor and master's degree at Wichita State University. And then after that, I started auditioning around the country, and the last audition I took, about 99 other cellists showed up with the same job, and I realized at that point this is a very competitive business, and in order to better feed my family, I better learn how to do something else. So I went to an arts management program at Carnegie Mellon University, and so that's a second degree there, a second master's degree there, and it was a great program in Pittsburgh, and learned so much there. And from there, I managed the American String Teachers Association in Washington, D.C., but my heart was always really into the symphony business. I grew up a cellist. I love the orchestra business, and so I really wanted to manage an orchestra. So I went to Reno, Nevada, and ran the Reno Philharmonic. And after that, I went to Beaumont, Texas, and ran the Symphony of Southeast Texas there. And the Arkansas Symphony, I did a stint. And after that, I took a left turn and did a couple of other things to explore some new opportunities. I ran the Guitar Foundation of America, which was really interesting. Lots of great contacts and great people in that organization. And then my last stop before Lubbock was with the Dream Come True Foundation, which was a organization that lifted people out of poverty, people of very high potential who struggled to finish their degrees and launch their careers, and we took them, some people out of some fairly desperate straits and lifted them up out of poverty. So it was great work, but again, my heart just longed to get back into the orchestra business, so when Lubbock came calling, it just seemed like the perfect fit for me.
Right. Yeah. Well, welcome. We're very happy you're here.
I'm glad to be here. It's so fantastic.
Do you still play?
I do. I still have my cello, and I still play. You know, I was bragging to him about a week ago that I still try to get in 2 hours a day, but with concert week, I've struggled to get in any time at all.
Right.
So, but once, you know, once things calm down and in between concerts, I do try to keep myself in shape. Yeah.
Right. Well, tell us some of the nuts and bolts details about this concert for people who are interested and want to get tickets and want to come to the performances. How can they do that?
Sure. They can go to our website easily, and that's lubbocksymphony.org, and they can get tickets there, or they can call the office
at 762-1688.
Thank you, David, because I'm so new, I can't remember the phone number.
It's like trying to remember your own cell phone number.
Nobody knows. That's right.
Exactly. I need to look at my business card to figure out the phone number. But yes, so please do call, because this is going to be a great show, and I know David will share lots of details about, you know, some of the ins and outs artistically of this program. It's amazing. I mean, all the talent that we have assembled on this stage is incredible.
Well, that's wonderful. And I know people will want to come to this, not only just hear a great opera and great performances, but they're going to want to see you, meet you, and welcome you to Lovell Clark.
I'll be around. Wonderful. And I'd love to meet everyone. So please, if you see me, please shake my hand and introduce yourself. Great. I want to meet everyone.
Fantastic. Galen Wixon, who is the new CEO and president of the Lubbock Symphony Orchestra. David Cho, welcome. Thanks for being with us. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, it's a pleasure to talk to you, and please ask away. I'm happy to answer.
This is one of the great operas by Giacomo Puccini, La Bohème. How did this rise to the surface and decide to be the opera that you wanted to do this year?
We always strive to put together all the forces of the arts institutions in Lubbock as a season closer, and of course, this is deemed as the season finale, you know, of the 16-17 season. And we try to do, in the past, we try to do an opera, a concert version, every other year, and this is the year. And we couldn't help but to think of La Bohème, because it's, as you put it, one of the greatest operas, great score, and we have a fantastic cast, four from out of town and four from in town, and of course with the West Texas Children's Chorus and the Lubbock Chorale. We'll be having lots of fun. We'll have the cast in the house, not only on stage, but it's semi-stage, so they'll be walking in from the entrances, sitting on people's laps, flirting with them, especially Musetta, and you know, it's such a heartbreaking, you know, moment, of course, but it brings out the most beautiful human qualities. And I think that's one of the most beautiful things about this opera.
So this really is a confluence of the art organizations, so many that are involved,
yes,
all together here in the same performances. What a wonderful idea.
Oh, it's been a thrill. I've been attending the Lubbock Chorale rehearsal, and of course with the children's chorus. And we had piano rehearsal with the cast yesterday, and they're, of course, just uber talented. And, you know, it's a humbling experience.
Right. Yeah. For years and years, especially when I was growing up, the thing at the Metropolitan Opera was ABC, Aida, Bohème, and Carmen, in terms of popularity. And, I mean, there's a reason why Bohème occupies that spot. This is a great opera. Mm-hmm. What is it about Bohème that you think makes it so attractive?
I think it's the coming together of the words and the music. Puccini had this knack for, you know, foreshadowing and doing the musical coloring, you know, with the words or before the words or before a character comes in. It just provides the audience like an opportunity to anticipate or realize what kind of character that is, what kind of emotion that character is going through. And my favorite part is actually, of course, end of Act One, but you know, during Act Three, when, you know, the quartet is just, two and two are just singing about completely different things, and yet Puccini managed to, you know, merge the drama and the character and the emotion with the music, which enhances everything, and it's one of my favorite moments.
Right. That's a unique moment where the two main characters, Rodolfo and Mimi, are totally in love, and the two other characters, Musetta and Marcello, are having a fight.
Oh, they are. It's so beautiful and yet funny and it's exasperating. Yes. And, you know, the music and the words and the acting drama could just put somebody to tears and to laughter within 2 minutes.
Right. And there is all of that in this opera, isn't there?
There is, yeah.
And it is a tragedy.
It is.
It ends badly.
Yeah, yeah. But as I, again, as I put it earlier, Richard Troxell, who is the Rodolfo, he helped us semi-stage this production, and he said, you know, Mimi's not dead yet. No, not dead yet. You know, it's like hope. You know, when you hear Musetta's, you know, there's still hope, you know. So it's, the audience should not know that Mimi is going to die,
right,
you know. Although, you know, all the opera comers, they know somebody's going to die, but they shouldn't know that Mimi is going to die. So it's really, there's layers and layers of information, the character defining and just realization that is so thrilling for me. I've caught the opera bug a little bit late in my life, but in Europe, you know, conductors get trained from the pit. But in America, it's the other way around. So I, because of that, you know, I caught the bug a little late, but I'm still happy that I caught it.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, it's...
Well, and orchestrally, this is a wonderful opera. Puccini is one of those who is immediately identifiable. When you hear the colors in the orchestra, you know it's Puccini immediately. And that must be a lot of fun for the players.
Absolutely. I mean, Puccini, I mean, he wrote beautiful melodies. I mean, da 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 dee, da da, you know, I mean... You hear that and you go, oh, of course, that's Puccini.
That's Puccini. Right,
and
yeah.
All the, I mean, within the realm, within some confinement, there's some room for stretching. And, of course, we highlight Rodolfo when he hits the high C, you know, give
right.
him room. And,
that's
you know,
right.
there's so much fun, you know, way of, different way of looking right. at things. So
it's still Italian opera.
Oh, yeah, absolutely,
absolutely.
Yeah.
That's,
I remember going to Puccini's hometown. And taking a picture, and I just felt like, oh my gosh, I'm in the realm of the Puccini spirit. So it was really, really fantastic.
Excellent. Well, Maestro David Cho, Galen Wixon, thank you both very, very much for taking time before rehearsal to visit with me.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Glenn.
More information on this weekend's LSO performances is at lubbocksymphony.org. You can listen to this episode of the program again later today at ktz.org. Thanks for listening to The Front Row. On Texas Tech Public Radio, I'm Clint Barrett.